Whoa, we made it.
We got
holy shit. Okay.
That warrants cursing right now because
I needed to get that off my chest.
Let me give an oh shit. What a morning. What a morning it was.
Shit. Grab that. Unbelievable, crazy journey it was to get to you this morning, Radio Free Brooklyn. But we're here now. We're queer now.
We are. Oh my god.
And welcome to the Strill Show. It's as always, I'm the C sitting across from me.
Is the flow? What's up?
Let's start
it off right now. Today, on this Sunday, is the marathon, right? That happens. And so we left early with the 10:30, takes us about 40 minutes to get here from Bay Ridge. And let's just say it was the highways was not the problem. The highway was the easiest part of this thing. I got right on, we got right off, and the minute we got into Bushwick, where we are right now, it was just closed. It was like every street, every cross street we had to get across.
Literally directly where we needed to go.
Yeah, so I talked to a cop, as you saw. Both
very
hands
nice
on the
guy.
Wheel.
Very nice guy.
Very nice guy. Don't want to look intimidating.
He called you bro and man.
Yeah, so I evolved.
You ate that shit up.
Yeah, I earned his trust throughout the conversation. And I was like, yo, how do we get across this place? How we cross the street, right?
Yeah,
and he's like,
yeah.
We ain't going to drive across the street.
Yeah.
He's like, you're better off just hoofing it. And I said, oh. I mean, really, you know.
And that's what we did.
And that's what we did. And you would think, how far?
I'm choking.
So basically, we had
my
a run.
Was not ready for
we
this.
Had a run 2 miles to get here, is what happened.
Legitimately, I'm not. We had our own marathon.
Yeah, let's just say we're not in shape. We weren't even qualified for 2 miles, let alone the 26 or whatever they run.
Well, I mean, we didn't have the time to train, you know?
We should have took the train. I think it would have been good.
That would have been a lot better. We literally woke up at like, you know, 10 o'clock. We had a day yesterday.
Yeah,
that's
right. I totally forget what yesterday brought to us as we, because I don't know if you guys follow us on the Instagram, the Twitter. Not that I put it on Twitter.
Sorry, I think I just burped into the mic.
No, I don't know. I thought that was me. I don't know.
Sorry, things are happening in my body that I can't control.
That's right.
It's just my body's just like, what's that? I think my body thought I was being chased by a murderer.
Yeah,
why are you running?
Thank God we had that extra hour, right? But yeah, yesterday, if you follow.
But before we get to that, I'm all
disheveled right now.
No, it's okay. Before we get to that, let's try to take a deep breath, relax.
All right.
We have a guest coming today.
We do have a guest.
We have Justin from a band called Up For Nothing that happened to be up for an interview.
he's up for the biggest challenge of his life right now.
So we're really excited to have Justin come in. He had to weather the storm of the marathon as well. So he's running a little late, so he should be here very shortly.
Yeah, we'll shuck and jive around that.
So we're going to be talking.
We'll play him in via song, which I will find right now.
Yep, their band is kind of on their farewell tour now. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. They just played the fest down in Gainesville, Florida last week, 2 weeks ago with some big bands. They're playing with some big bands coming up.
Yeah, some really big bands.
And you can see them November 12th at Union Hall. Or is it Pool? I always get those confused.
Pool?
Maybe it's Union Pool.
I have it on the event page. I'm like, let me be really serious and quiet. Let me look that up for you.
You need to.
We're gonna fact check right here. We're gonna have a stroll fact check. So you guys are like, that's not true.
But yeah, while Steve checks that out, we have Justin coming in any minute, and he'll be shooting the shit with us about all the goings on for the last round of shows for Up For Nothing. And they're actually a band we know from back in the day in Bay Ridge. I saw them play like Peggy O'Neill's, I think, like when Peggy O'Neill still had shows that doesn't even exist anymore.
No, because I think they closed down because they let too many kids drink underage.
That's where I went for my like my after prom. I didn't go to my own prom, but I went to like my friend's prom.
Yeah.
And you got it?
Oh, I got it.
Just let us know. Union Hall or Pool? Was it Pool?
It was Hall.
I don't know.
Is Union Pool a thing?
Union Pool is a thing.
It's like a bar?
I think so. A
club?
I don't know, but Union Hall, that sounds good. That sounds right.
Yeah, so November 12th is at Union Hall, and that's their final show ever in Brooklyn.
Final show in Brooklyn.
Your Brooklyn boys saying farewell to the borough.
Yeah, so we thought, what better way? We got to honor our Brooklyn brethren.
That's right, especially Bay Ridge. We got to give that a tremendous shout-out.
Tremendous. We've been doing good with that lately. We got the wrestlers from Bay Ridge, Bay Ridge Wrestling, and now we got a band from Bay Ridge that finally we're
putting us on the map.
Yeah.
Just like John Travolta did.
He did. Johnny Che with that double slice, that double-layered slice.
I've never seen a human, in all my years of living in Brooklyn, I've never seen one other man on this planet put a pizza slice into a pizza slice, fold them both, and eat them all at once.
I still haven't done it. I don't know if I would want to do it.
I feel like you would. I feel like
you think me specifically.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I'm dirty like that.
You're dirty like that.
But let me. One time I put the halal on the pizza.
That was good though.
That was good.
Let's not. We have to experiment. How do you think you find new foods?
I'm still choking.
You have to experiment. Hey, wait, let me just finish. They got one more show after that. The Brooklyn show on November 12th. On December 17th, 3 days after my birthday.
Nice.
4 days after my mom's birthday.
And like 7 days before my birthday.
Yeah. See? We got good math. They're playing at Irving Plaza. And you know who they're opening for?
Tell me. I know, but tell me.
You know. You know. Because we do our homework. Bouncing Souls and Annie Flag.
That's huge.
So those are two. You want to talk about big boys?
Let's maybe play a song if you got one queued up.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Justin is here. He'll be
yeah,
here
pass me that auxiliary slice and I'll play it. Let me just say, I'll do a little brief story as well that we kind of cut off too. But last night we went down to or yesterday afternoon we went down to Philly to meet my my boy from college, Neil, Big Neil. He should be listening. Because that's what we do. We go find our listeners, wherever they are, and we go hang out with them so they feel obligated to come listen to the show. So we hang out with Neil yesterday. We went to Eastern State Penitentiary.
Yeah. We should talk with Justin about that when he comes in. So
and we saw the band Pup we've been talking about and kind of giving a little plug to, and that was sick. And, you know, we drove 2 hours back home. We got, you know, shitty Wawa service, which is unfortunate.
I got a double chickened up Wawa quesadilla, and let me tell you. They did not need to be that generous.
Yeah, no, because they forgot to make mine, and then I got a buffalo beef quesadilla, which no one eats buffalo beef.
Just saying it sounds bad.
Well, the alliteration is good, but I got some songs. Yeah, you got a specific song? I got Dignity. I could play right now,
yeah,
and we can kind of
play a jam, and then I think we're gonna talk to Justin and see.
All right, yeah,
we're gonna do like a retrospective of their career, of their catalog.
I like that. All right, so Paul's gonna go get the door. I'm gonna get you the tunes, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn right here. Coming up, we got Justin from Up for Nothing, and. Yeah, just
it's a stroll show.
Yeah, it's a stroll show. Yeah, we don't even plug our own show. All right, we'll be back after this. Oh yeah, that was good.
Wow,
that was
perfect good. Timing.
You like that? That was a minute 50, and we pulled it off. We pulled it off.
Well done. And look, magic happened. We're sitting here with Justin from Up for Nothing. Say hi to everybody, Justin.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh my goodness, we've all had a crazy morning. It seems like today. Paul, you can grab this.
Yeah, I'll take that. Thanks, man.
Sir.
Cool. So, wow. So yeah, tell us a little bit about your journey getting here, getting through the marathon. Horse shit that it was going on.
It's funny because I actually didn't know there was a marathon until you told me.
Oh shit!
So I was like, oh, I guess that's what's going on. But no, I took the train. So
oh nice. I was worried that you were taking the bus or a car or something. I was like, oh fuck, like
yeah, it's better this way then.
Yeah.
That was a wise move because we drove here
and
let's just say we got here in like 20 minutes. We left at like 10:30,
yeah.
And then we were telling our listeners and everything that we. that was closed off, and we had to walk 2 miles to get to the studio.
Yeah. He told me that you guys were kind
of... We literally ran. We did our own, marathon. We did a strollathon.
I'll be catching my breath for the rest of the day.
But anyway, so welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming, man.
Yeah, of course.
Let's start maybe from the beginning.
We'll start fresh.
Because you guys are kind of... Up for Nothing's kind of reaching their end right now, right?
Indeed.
So for the listeners out there maybe that don't know much about you, because I remember, I do remember seeing you guys quite a few times back in the day. Like, you played like Peggy O'Neill's and stuff in Bay Ridge, right?
Yep.
Yeah, wow. So...
That's going way back.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you. '09.
That was in Bay Ridge, that Peggy O'Neill's?
Well, there was two. There was one in Coney, and then there was used to be one in Bay Ridge also.
Did you play in Bay Ridge or you played in Coney?
We played in both. But
okay. Hitting all the Peggy's.
Bay Ridge is going way back.
That's like 10 years ago at least, right?
It hasn't been there in a long time. I remember the last... I remember just underage drinking there many times. Hence why I closed. So what's the start of the band? Like, how did you guys meet? Are you all from like Bay Ridge in the area, or how did that start?
I mean, we've had some member changes over the years, but we started. First show was back in 2002.
That's like freshman year of high school. Was that for you too?
That was sophomore year for me.
Oh, okay, so one
year. I was 15.
That's early.
But basically, my sister's boyfriend at the time was a singer in a different band, but he was musically inclined and such. So he was like, I can play drums, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And a friend of mine played bass, and we just started super young. And my sister's boyfriend was a couple years older. So after 5 years, he was like, I'm too old for this. You know what I mean? Which I guess I can understand now.
So he was how old when he decided that he was too old?
Let's see.
For
if
him?
I was 15, he was. So he must have been about 27.
Okay. Oh yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. No. When he decided to go back out, he was like 21 when we started.
Right. That's like the age I am right now, and I'm a musician too. I've been in a band for a long time, and
you
start thinking about it around this time. You're like, what do I got? I got to make some decisions. So totally, I understand that. But yeah, so continue. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So that was the start, and from there, I wanted to do it, man. Like. The thing with me is, like, I think I went to see Green Day in 95.
Oh, yeah.
And, real Green Day.
Yeah. I was, like, 8 years old. And
I was going to say. Fuck that up.
My sister brought me over, and she, because I liked a couple songs, and she's like, we should go to the concert. I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that changed it for me, man. Wow. I was like, all right, I gotta learn how to play guitar. I got a lot of stuff to do.
Green Day 95. And the funny thing is, we've talked to another band recently that said they saw Green Day in 2005. They were like younger, right?
As their first show.
So like, isn't that interesting? Like how like
it's so interesting,
right? Yeah. 10 years after, right? Like there's two sets of generations. Exactly.
Green Day eyeliner is the new Green Day now.
So. Exactly. But you saw like the mudslinging, dirty Lollapalooza. Exactly. That shit's man. Okay.
How is it the same band? I don't know.
It's actually a really cool thing because that show was on November 12th of 95. I found my ticket stub. And our last show in Brooklyn is November 12th.
Holy shit.
Which I think is really ironic.
Coming full circle.
Serendipitous, some would say.
For real. I saw the ticket stub, and I was like, I had like goosebumps.
That's awesome.
Really cool.
That's dope, actually. They actually make, you can make like doormats.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
Have, so you can have
somebody sent me that.
Of what? Of your like...
Like it's like ticket stubs. You can make them into like a doormat.
That's pretty sweet. I never heard of that.
I saw it on the Riot Fest page shared, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty sick.
That's such like a niche, but like cool idea. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so you can do that. Yeah. Just to, just the thought.
But back on track. So you saw Green Day and you were just like, fuck, I gotta start doing something.
And that's it, man. Like before I even had a band, I had a band in my head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
that's awesome.
And in junior high school, I was like asking my classmates for like, what should my band name be? Should it be this or should it be that? And they're like, what? Do you have a band?
Yeah,
you're like 10.
Preparing.
I got imaginary bassist and drummer. I got an imaginary rhythm section.
Yeah. So that was it. Like for me, like it was just in me to keep it going for so long. And it's tough. Like like you were saying before, like every year you get older, it gets harder to maintain. And so people, that we were playing with for a while were just like, I can't do it anymore. I'm getting married. I'm having kids. I'm getting a job or whatever. But me and Steven, our bass player, have been in it now for 11, 12 years out of 14, which is crazy. And that's it, man. That's the story. We started, doing, scene changed so many times since playing.
Especially for like punk, like exactly. pop punk and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Like,
especially in the early 2000s. Yeah, like, that was a different time. I feel like, because we grew up the same time, obviously. Yeah. And it was definitely like, you saw the musical shift, I don't know, like occur, and it was just, I don't know.
It really is interesting. Like, obviously, like, you know, you had like the Blinks and stuff that mm-hmm. blew up, and then like the Sum 41s, and mm-hmm. then like all those bands that kind of like trickled out
exactly.
of that and
exactly.
influenced so many of like people exactly. in our generation. I was in a pop punk band when I was a kid,
sure.
too. Like,
yep.
Not to say that like everybody was doing it. Like it's just like yeah. I was into music too. So I
was sure like this type of music. Same. It's like you do. Yeah. It's like pop punk or like metal. I feel
right.
like you had exactly. like two choices.
Especially exactly. in our area too. Exactly. Like we were in like Brooklyn. Like you. So you grew up in
Bensonhurst.
Bensonhurst. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no culture, right? There's
yeah.
no fucking music culture.
Sure.
Like you just had what you got on MTV, and yeah. like it wasn't like we lived in the city. Like everybody's like, oh, you live in the city.
Yeah.
To me,
yeah.
like Bensonhurst and Bay Ridge and fucking Marine Park.
Yeah.
That's not the city.
That's
I
true.
Gotta go to the city.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Like 40-minute train ride to the
yeah,
city.
Yeah,
it's not like
least,
I just walk
yeah.
out my door
yeah,
and I can
yeah,
see
yeah.
the Empire State Building.
Exactly. Right, where all the hipster shit was going on. So like we had
sure.
our own little like
culture, yeah.
like microcosm of music. It's really interesting. So. What was the first show you remember playing with Up for Nothing? Like the earliest, was it L'Amour's?
We actually never played L'Amour.
Ah, damn.
Here's the thing.
I was gonna ask that question too. I was like, did you play L'Amour's?
You still have my ticket stuff. From
I never went to L'Amour's myself. I was actually very sad about that.
You bought a ticket.
I paid $10.
So here's the thing with L'Amour's. Like back in the day, there was two places to go to shows if you were underage. I mean, you can obviously get into more if
right,
you could.
Right.
But in Bensonhurst, there was L'Amour's, and then there was the Temple.
Yes!
Temple. Right?
We were talking with somebody else about that recently. And there was another one, like, it was like Red Pyramid or something, or like... Do you know
the Red Zone.
Red Zone,
in
yeah,
Queens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was
yeah,
in Queens, though,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, okay, okay. So, I'm in the realm.
Yeah. We did Red Zone a bunch of times, but the shows were always terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
okay,
well, you know, what are you
going to
do?
So... It, like in high school and stuff, like you were either a Temple kid
yeah.
or you were a L'Amour's kid.
Oh,
I was
shit.
Always a Temple kid.
Right.
I went to L'Amour's one time in my life. And then it switched over to Third Rail.
Yes.
Which
yes.
I went to a bunch of times.
Damn, but, this is bringing me back.
Yeah,
this
dude.
Is blowing my fucking mind.
Yeah.
I haven't heard these like. I'm so pissed now. I've never gone.
I know.
I was so close that day.
So
close.
Guarded yeah. in our Severian upbringing.
God damn it. I'm going to talk to my mom after this.
Mommy, she'll let me out of my house.
Can I go, please?
But we did the Temple. We played two shows at the Temple closed down in 2003,
yeah,
so we
yeah.
kind of just got the cut off.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me a little bit about the Temple because
yeah.
we never went there. Like I was,
sure.
I guess I was a L'Amour's guy. I played
sure.
L'Amour's like three or four times before
Word, yeah.
it became Panache or something.
Yeah.
Now,
like, oh shoot.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know if it's still. Like,
I don't think it's still Panache because I remember Panache being like the club, like
I don't
freshman
think it's
year or something.
Anymore.
Yeah,
I didn't know like where
it
was
a
that
fucking
look?
Hole.
yeah,
I don't know, if but I, that's what
the
I'm
phone parties at Panache or something. I don't know, like
the phone parties.
Foam.
Oh yeah, I thought he said phone too.
No, phone party.
What is a phone party?
Well, phone party is something different, but the foam is when like the foam comes down from like the you know.
But yeah, I would love to hear a little bit about the Temple.
Yeah, so the Temple was amazing, dude. Like, it was so weird. How it worked. Basically, it was a basement of a synagogue, a Jewish synagogue, on like 23rd Avenue in Benson, in Bensonhurst. Every week they would do punk shows on Saturdays, Sundays. Sometimes they'd alternate and they'd do a punk show on Saturday and then a hardcore show on Sunday.
Okay.
Whatever it was. But it was essentially, it was 2 days a week, Saturday and Sunday only. And it was started out by three dudes,
mm-hmm.
and it started out super small, and then they were getting huge bands. They got, you know, back in the day, they got bands like Sugar Cult and Taking Back Sunday.
What?
And, yeah. And it blew up. And
wow.
it got shut down because there was too many people there.
Yeah.
And they got all these fire codes, and then the synagogue didn't want them renting out the basement anymore. And
how many people could fit in there, though? Like, imagine Taking Back Sunday, especially back then.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
it was.
Insane.
I want to say a room was about 300, maybe 350.
That's a danger zone.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's still a lot of people, though, to get stuffed in a synagogue basement.
Man.
Yeah, for sure. But every week, no matter who was playing, whether it was a band like Taking Back Sunday or a band like us or a band that literally started 2 days ago, it would be packed with, like, packed to the brim every single week. And I'm talking kids, though, like 15, 16-year-old kids. And
going apeshit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, everyone kind of respected it. Like, I feel like if it happened now, those 15-year-old kids would be drinking, they'd be doing whatever.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Nobody did that shit. Like, it was like, we all understood that if we fuck it up, we have nowhere to go.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because
there was nothing else.
Exactly.
There was really nothing else.
Exactly. So it was a really cool, like, understanding and maturity factor of, like, kids going into a place and kind of respecting the boundaries and keeping it going for as long as they could,
you
know?
What happened? Like, what happened over time?
Now there is nowhere.
You have to go to a bar to see a show now. You can't, because I guess you need the money factor, the drink money factor, and all that stuff.
Do kids even start bands anymore?
That's a good question.
Well, what about that band Unlocking the Truth? Those three, like, 13-year-old kids?
Oh, yeah.
The punk metal guys?
Yeah, that's it.
But I don't know. Maybe that's just like two.
But it's like a gimmick. Like, then it becomes like, that's like a gimmick for them.
It's like a YouTube sensation now, more than anything.
You're going viral, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine, like, I don't know, like,
I feel like
not being in a band, like, my childhood was all about that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, that was my goal, and, like, you know, and the bug definitely hit a lot of kids.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Right, but certain, you know, like, one kid, like, I'm going to buy a bass, and then they never played.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, so they were in the band, but they just held the bass and didn't actually play.
Exactly.
Right? But, like, you know, guys like you, like, you know, you saw it through. What do you think it was that, like, kept you, like, on the path of trying to do it? Like, did you see that you were kind of getting some notoriety, a little bit of success, or was it, you know?
You know what, man? That's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's no right answer.
Well, I mean, there's kind of an answer, but I feel like I just did it for me, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's where the longevity came from.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I'm saying? I think when bands try to find a reason to do it,
mm-hmm.
they're doing it for the wrong reason.
Right.
Because it has to be about you. It has to be about having fun and something that you love to do.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of bands kind of go into it thinking they're going to get famous, thinking they're going to get girls, thinking they're going to get money.
Yeah.
None of that shit happens. I'm sorry if that's...
No.
Very, very few people get that. You got to be like Aerosmith,
Pearl Jam,
Bono, something like that. I mean, it doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. So, and I think after a year or two and they realize, like, oh, we're really working hard, but nothing's happening.
Right.
I think it's like it implodes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But when you're in it for reasons other than that, and just something that makes you happy and something that you love to do, like, I think that's where longevity comes in.
Yeah, and I assume, you know, and that's very true, and I assume you were in a band with close friends.
For sure, yeah.
That you guys, you know, enjoyed being in the band. Like me, I'm in a band with my cousin.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just like a family thing.
Yeah.
So like, it's just, we're locked in.
Close-knit,
like, you know, so...
It's not like a hired gun or something, you know, like you got some dude to come in from outside.
Yeah. It's totally. And that's not built to last, you know. So for you guys, like, so like, how did you meet the other guys in the band? Like, what was that experience?
Met Steven in high school in New Utrecht. We went to New Utrecht. And
I love this.
I know. It's like I walk past New Utrecht every day.
Amazing.
Go to the train.
Yeah. And so he actually used to come to our shows, like at the temple and stuff. He wasn't in the band yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of, I just started teaching him how to play guitar one day and
he
got super good, like really quick. And then, we needed a bass player and I was like, well, if you could do this, you could probably play bass.
Yeah.
And then he started playing bass and he just joined the band. So I met him in high school. Josh, I formed a band a couple years ago called Cover Your Idols. It was like a punk rock, hardcore cover band.
Oh, awesome.
And Josh played in that band.
Uh-huh.
And then we kind of flirted with the idea, because we were a trio forever.
Yeah.
And we kind of were like, maybe we should have had a second guitar player, and Josh could sing pretty well. So we're like, let's just add Josh in, because I already knew him from the other band.
Yeah.
And Tom, our drummer...
I know Tom, actually. I knew him from...
Everybody knows Tom.
Yeah.
Every single person in the world.
Yeah, man. He's just a very...
You never forget him.
Yeah. Very memorable guy. Not that I was, like, very close to him or anything, but
sure.
I definitely knew him from back in the day, and he was always so nice to me. Because I used to work in Key Food in Marine Park.
Oh, yeah.
I used to see him there all the time. He'd do his shopping there. He was friends with one of my close friends.
Sure.
And that's why I wound up seeing you guys.
Yeah.
Because of him.
Oh, okay. Word.
He joined.
He used to play in a band called Step Aside.
Yeah,
remember that.
I definitely saw them too.
Yeah, sure.
Dude, what's going on? This is crazy.
So
I feel like a kid again.
You look so young.
I'm like so buoyant. So buoyant right now.
So we toured with them a bunch, and we had a different drummer at the time. And Tom is like a musical savant. Let me tell you, dude. He plays piano, but he never went to lessons. He plays drums, never went to lessons. But
great
he can hear amazing drummer.
Really great drummer.
But that dude can hear a song and play it on the piano within seconds.
That's insane.
Having never heard it or anything.
I wish I had that.
I wish I had any of that.
And he's got this sick musical memory. So we toured so much that he just knew our songs.
Wow.
So when it was time to, like, there was a couple times like we had to have him fill in because our drummer couldn't make a show and no practice, he'd just come in and just bang it out.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
So when our drummer got to the point where, like, everyone else does, like, oh, I don't know if I could do this anymore, it was just like, Tom wasn't even, it wasn't even a thought. We're like, all right, Tom's our drummer. That's and awesome. He's like, oh, I've been waiting for this. Like,
so he was playing with you guys and Step Aside like simultaneously?
Or? Yeah, but I mean, that was happening. I was also playing in Step Aside too for a little while because their bass player left. So I kind of joined and helped out for a little bit. They lasted maybe another year after he joined us and then they kind of fizzled out.
Gotcha. I mean, that's what happens.
That's what happens. Yeah. Like that, you know, especially people going to college and things like that. You know, it gets tough. But did you? So, like after high school, did you go to college in the area, or did you?
Yeah, I went to Kingsborough.
Okay, that's close.
For longer than I should have.
Okay, that's okay.
2 year program became a 5 year program.
Exactly.
He's going for his doctorate. What do you want? What do you want from this guy?
Hey, so it's true. All good. I mean, you know, college is bullshit. I feel like you shouldn't have to start college when you're like 18. That's like, I'm not mentally ready to even wipe my
agree.
Own ass.
No, 100%.
You, know you got to figure out your life.
Exactly.
It's okay. You got like one semester to figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
That's why you wind up with an English degree, which is basically like a receipt.
Yeah.
You can wipe your ass with.
Exactly.
You just need to graduate.
But yeah, I did that. And then I stopped going for a couple of years. And now I'm actually back in school now.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's always perseverance.
But I hate it. I don't hate school. I just hate the idea that you have to obtain a piece of paper in order to succeed.
Yeah, like it's
you know
like
what I'm
it's because all it is just to put on your resume. Exactly. It's all it is to have that other line of college. I mean, you probably put it down there. No one will know you. You know,
tens
if you went or not.
Dollars later.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
oh,
what
cool.
are you paying for? You know, like I don't feel like I'm that much more educated than like somebody. You know, somebody else. Or like somebody who like I went to St. Francis, but somebody who went to like a school that costs twice as much as mine. Do you think they got twice the education?
Yeah,
I think it's very specific to what you do. Like if you're becoming a lawyer, a doctor. Or like an accountant. I feel like those skills are important, but like to learn. But other than that, like you know, you learn everything from YouTube now. I just like, how do I open this jar? Boom! Right on YouTube, they got the video. So I don't know.
So true. But yeah, like
it's YouTube University.
I go on that note. Like you know, I was working with kids for a while. Like I was like working after school programs, and then I started to run after school programs. And I have like 9-10 years experience in that, and they actually let me go because I didn't have my degree in
for real.
Yeah. And they brought in somebody like off the street that had a piece of paper that never had any experience doing that.
Yeah, and
you know?
That's ridiculous.
And you had already this relationship with the kids and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly,
like,
exactly.
It's horseshit.
That is bullshit.
That's
so,
the life.
So did you continue playing? Sorry, I don't know if I was going to go that way, but were you going?
It's okay.
Like you were still playing with the same Up For Nothing? All the band members still stayed kind of in Brooklyn?
Yep. Yeah, everyone's in Brooklyn.
Okay, good. Yep. No one ever like left because I know I went away to school, so I would have been gone. And you would have been like looking for somebody else if we had a band or something.
Well, I stayed in Brooklyn for my band. It's like, but anyway, let's take a brief pause. Cool. We're here with John from Up For Nothing. You're listening to The Stroll Show, Radio Free Brooklyn. John.
Justin.
Oh, Justin. I'm sorry.
Cool. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Cool.
I'm sorry.
Bro, what happened?
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
It's all good.
Justin.
Yeah.
We literally just met like 40 seconds ago. So, Justin, my friend. I want to know, like, is there a song or something from like maybe like early on that might be on Spotify that we could play?
Specifically in Spotify.
Yeah, that you can like suggest, like kind of like maybe do like a little bit of a retrospective of the band.
Yeah. You could check the song, I guess, 0 to 60.
Okay.
That's on We're Singing Our Last Breath, but it's up there for sure.
Okay. Hang on.
Yeah.
You let me know and I'll put this volume up.
Boop, 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 boop.
And we need like a little like standby.
Like, 0 to 60. Like, I got it.
You got it? All right. I'm ready.
This is 0 to 60, Up For Nothing. We're sitting with Justin.
Yeah.
From Up For Nothing.
Nailed it.
Sorry.
It's cool.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
Word.
Away. When the bridge should make a rap,
All right, guys, here we go. Welcome back. Stroll Show, Radio Free Brooklyn. We're sitting here with Justin.
Yeah, from Up for Nothing. The running joke of the show now.
Bensonhurst. Bensonhurst's own. We're going to.
I know.
Watching you.
Sorry. Hey. Forgive.
We're good.
Yeah. Forgive and forget.
Forget.
You
know?
Come on. We all went to fucking. You gave me a go to Catholic school right here. You know? The truth will set you free. I owned up.
You did. Honest. Just did you ever go into Severian? Because you went to Severian High School.
You've been there? I haven't been there. A lot of my friends went there.
You never went to a dance? Never went to a Severian dance?
No, never went to a dance.
You never got an X to the ball?
No, Severian for me.
Yeah, so starting off, like when you guys were recording,
yeah.
Like where did you go to record the stuff back then? Like, was it in like people's basements and shit?
Dude, it's so funny you say that.
Yeah, I'm curious. I have a theory. I don't know if it's right.
But okay,
it wasn't GarageBand.
All right, so we've gotten lucky, to be honest. So the first couple stuff we did was in basements. We did, you remember Fastlane?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Totally.
So we recorded our first like. Two like EPs or like demos in Fastlane,
and they have like a tracking studio in there, right? Because I did like live, just like in the room,
yeah.
And they press play, and I left with a CD.
Not that.
Is that why it's called Fastlane?
get in, get out.
Yeah, so they had that in every room, but no, we did we used the tracking room for the first couple things we did, and then we moved on to like an actual studio, but after that. We the record we did 12 Stories Down, which is the record after this.
Okay.
We actually did it in Steven Seagal's old mansion.
Oh, shit. Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh. Wait, where is that mansion?
That was not my theory.
Holy shit.
I did not think Seagal.
It's in Staten Island, and it is so gorgeous, dude. Like,
was it called Undestige Studios?
Dude, I wish that making that happen right now.
That would be awesome. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, so what ended up happening was the dude that recorded us, even when we did our demos, kind of, I don't know if you know Jerry Farley.
That sounds so familiar.
Any show you were ever at Peggy O'Neill's, he set up. He ran the board, he did the sound.
Definitely know his name for sure.
But so he was kind of working with us in the beginning, and then he lucked out and got a job at the studio, Steven Seagal's old place that was renovated into a studio.
So he doesn't live there? So he never lived? Well, he lived there previously.
He lived there
at the time.
Exactly. He doesn't live there anymore.
Damn. And he sold it, and someone had the amazing idea to turn it into a studio.
Seagal Studios.
So he kind of got an in there, but no record had been recorded there.
Yeah.
So he gave them a budget. He's like, give me $40,000 and I'll buy all the gear that we need to make it a functioning studio.
Yeah.
So they gave him the whatever. He got all the stuff. And then they used us as a guinea pig. And they were like, do you know any bands that want to come in? And we were ready to record a record. And Jerry's like, yeah. So he asked us, and we were like, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So we stayed there for 12 days.
Where was it? Where was
Staten
it?
Island.
He was Seagal was in Staten?
I could see him being out there, though. It kind of worked. Where was it? Like Toad Hill? I feel like that's where else would you live if you're rich?
All the way down on, what's that like really prominent avenue on Staten Island?
Like Richmond?
Oh, Richmond
or Victory?
Avenue?
No. Right on the bus from Bay Ridge, you Highland.
Highland, that's
Boulevard.
The other one.
You take Highland
all
the way down, and it's like Woods of Arden is the street name, which reminds me of like a screamo band.
Woods of Arden.
But it was right over there, but all the way down. Yeah. And the backyard is like a beach. It's like a private beach.
Damn.
Gorgeous.
Is it gated? Is it like a gated
it's
entrance?
Gated. Yep.
Oh, my Absolutely. God. You seem like super official going in there. Just like, yeah, I'm going to go record something right now.
Word.
So what was the recording process like there? Like, was it like crazy?
Dude, it was so weird. There was like maids like cleaning up. And
holy crap.
It was just like really surreal.
The maids like come with the mansion.
It's Steven Seagal.
This was in 2010.
Wow.
So it was awesome. Like, this is the first time that we recorded like
normally when we record in the past, we do drums and like 3 weeks later, we do something else. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But this was like everything's getting banged out in 12 days. Like drums, bass. It was the first time we did like a process like that. Yeah. Like very like compact, like, oh, in 2 weeks we have a record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that never happened for us before. And so it was cool. It was a cool experience to kind of sit and make it happen all at once.
Totally.
Without like distractions or anything else, you know.
So that was like your first like real studio
experience.
Wow,
exactly.
And it was in Steven Seagal's fucking.
That's
name.
So awesome.
Yeah,
that's amazing. That's an amazing part of the story.
It was so cool.
I'll retire right after that.
But after that, we kind of got like ends with the dudes in Bouncing Souls.
Yeah,
which is like the band that like super like that's you know one of my biggest influences.
They are especially from this area.
Yeah, like, yeah. Totally. So,
I mean, like the tri-state, because they're like from Jersey, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so we did this, like a couple shows with them, and then I found out that the guitar player records bands also.
Mm.
So I reached out to him, and he's done our last couple things.
Awesome.
And that like was like an amazing experience. Yeah, yeah. You know, like love that dude. And
how'd you get in with them? Like you just met them at some shows or something, and like you were a fan. And
Yeah, I was a fan. I did meet them a couple times, like just say what's up to them and stuff, and it was kind of a weird thing. Like, when we did that record that we did at Seagal's place, like, I sent it to the bass player, you know, via, like, Facebook. And I was like, yo, dude, like, I really want you to hear this. And he's like, yeah, man, just mail it to me. Like, he was so cool. And I was like, all right. So I mailed it to him, and he loved it. Sorry for cursing.
No, have at it.
Community
freeform radio. Yeah. You know that?
Curse whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Being very Italian. Man. I don't know why I got it.
For Steven Seagal.
Sitting on a cugino over here.
But yeah, he sent me a letter back, and he was like, oh, this is great. Like, next New York Bouncing Soul show, I want you guys to play. And I was like, yeah, right. Like, that's not going to happen. And then sure enough, like, you know.
That's awesome.
He, like, made it happen.
Wow.
And then from there, like, you know, I started talking to the guitar player, who's the guy who records.
Yeah.
And he was, like, super willing to do it.
Yeah, we're gonna get to more of that, too, because I know you guys are playing with them
yeah.
Yeah, the
later on.
The farewell. Yeah.
The farewell.
But I really, really now I'm very interested to hear what the Steven Seagal studio produced. I don't want to take another break so soon, but I think we need to hear a track from that studio. Am I wrong?
Not wrong.
This guy's
no,
not wrong.
You're never wrong.
So let's do that. Okay, suggest me.
How about The Slouch?
Okay, and that's on 12 Stories Down,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's the one.
I just can't believe Steven Seagal lives so close to me, and I had no idea. I think that's what obsessed me more.
Are you in Staten Island? Or?
No, I'm in Diker. But
okay, all right, yeah.
But still, that's close. Yeah, you know, just a little drive over the bridge, and
right
I get to go hang out with Steven Seagal. I can see him like Top Tomato out there or something.
We're gonna hear what his mansion sounds like. Right. This is The Slouch in Radio Free Brooklyn. Not for nothing. We'll be right back.
Yep.
bring. You know Steven Seagal isn't playing bass on that track?
I don't know. I wish he would. I wish he would take like a little like a, you know, feature Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Come and do a little track.
That was awesome. That was The Slouch by Up For Nothing. We're sitting with the man Justin from the band. I want to
take a breath.
I did take a breath. I'm still catching my breath. My body is still in shock from the 12.
We haven't worked out like that probably ever.
Since
like school gym class or something. But even then, we didn't do anything.
Severian.
That high school.
Oh yeah, we didn't get to work out in our Severian gym because we were in like the smart. We were like the smart kids, so they just went like threw basketballs at us. Like,
I'm like, what is this doing?
Entertain yourselves.
Entertain yourselves, assholes. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, you guys have like your final shows coming up now.
Yep.
And you just recently played Fest last week, right? Yep. In Gainesville, Florida. Yeah. And we're very interested in that because we're involved in the scene.
Sure, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
We've definitely heard of Fest a few times and never got to go. And what is it like in there? Do you know a little bit about the history of it at all? Or
oh yeah, for sure, man. So Fest is amazing. It gets bigger every year, which I think the people that go to it kind of get upset about.
Yeah.
It's just the way, you know, the nature of the beast, you know.
They're like, oh, this was ours.
Exactly.
Because like, it seems so, like, tight-knit. Like, it was like a small music community. So then it just...
Exactly.
Now, every year, it's just...
Exactly. Definitely every year. It's like, I used to think it's like a joke thing, and now I'm like, I'm looking at the bands playing, and I'm like, fuck.
This is
some serious shit. So. Yep,
for sure. I mean, this was Fest 15. Wow. So it's been 15 of them so far.
Wow.
We've played 3 of them, fortunate enough to. And it's cool, man. Gainesville is like a really small like college town. The Gators, Gainesville Gators, are out of there.
Wow.
But it's
really... like Tim Tebow, right? Wasn't he a Gator?
I'm pretty sure he might have been a Gator, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Like a lot of, you know, college football roots there.
Yeah, cool.
But anyway... the town is really small, and it really legitimately gets taken over by, like, punk rock kids. And actually, I'll say punk rock adults at this point.
a bunch of men coming in.
Totally. There's no kids anymore anywhere. That goes back to what we were saying before.
And the kids don't want this shit anymore.
Exactly.
They're on their iPads, doing, you know, Snapchatting each other, like, dick pics or something. Like
But, yeah, it gets taken over, and it's really cool, man. Like, you know, there's a registration line that everybody has to wait on in order to get, like, you know, their bracelet and whatever. So it's like a line that goes about maybe 6-7 blocks all the way down, around this way, around that way. And it's cool. Like, when you go there, like, for us, like, we've been touring for a little bit of time. So we've kind of met a ton of people, like, just by playing. And everyone goes to Fest. Mm-hmm. So it's like you walk the line. It's like, oh, that's that dude from Richmond, Virginia. It's like, oh, that's that guy. Yeah. You know, like it's like really cool.
It's like a big community of people. Like,
exactly.
That's
and the,
awesome.
The coolest thing about playing Fest, like I always say this, is like that same concept of like meeting certain people in certain places. Like you associate people with cities.
Yeah.
When you have like been touring for a while, like you see a person and think Philadelphia before you think of their name.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, and you have their number in your phone, like John Philly, and it's like,
Justin Philly,
Justin Philly, John left.
So the coolest thing is like when you're playing, you see all these people in the same place at the same time, and that's like a really cool like inexplainable experience.
It's like an overload.
Exactly, exactly. It's like everyone's there together that would never have known each other. Wow. You know what I mean? Like it's just a really cool moment.
That's
you know,
great. That's a really interesting way to think about it and quantify it.
Sure.
So what is the stages like? Do they have like multiple stages?
Where is it located? I'm trying to think.
It's in Gainesville, Florida.
Is it like a park or something, or is it like an actual like venue space?
It's like a ton of venues.
Oh, okay.
Think of it
like CMJ-ish or
kind of. Yeah. Think of it like I guess like Bay Ridge for a second.
Okay.
Except the venues are bigger.
Gotcha.
But it's like a strip. There's a University Avenue.
Yeah.
And that's really where everything is. There's some like a couple places like on side streets, but pretty much everything is on University Avenue.
Gotcha.
And the venues just get bigger as the bands get bigger. So like the main stage will be bands like Less Than Jake and you know just.
Oh
like,
my God! I want to go.
Next
I want to go
next year, big boy.
Everyone will judge me, but I don't give a shit. Let them judge.
You know, but it's cool, man. It's a really very unique experience going. You know, even more unique playing, for sure.
I heard they had wrestling there this year, too. Or
yeah.
Have they had that like the last couple of years? Yeah. We're big wrestling. I'm a big wrestling fan.
Yeah, I watch occasionally.
They started doing that. They also started doing comedy shows also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool, like, to just kind of switch it up, you know? Because
when
you're the shows go from, they start around 11 a.m., they go to about 3 a.m.
Wow.
Holy shit.
And you don't have to go to them, obviously. Right, right. But if you want, if somebody were to do that, it kind of gets a little crazy. Your mind gets a little crazy. So they kind of like added comedy shows and like other things to kind of like break up the monotony of like loud just music.
Crazy bands like playing,
16 hours a day.
Yeah. What is it? What, 2 days, 3 days?
It's really three.
Okay.
They did 4 days 1 year, but they switched it back to three now.
I think that's too long because I went out to Coachella a couple years ago and like, 3 days and like the heat and it's like running around.
It's a lot, dude.
After a while, you're like, I fuck the bands. You know? I want to go home now. Like,
I don't give a shit about Radiohead.
Yeah, it's like I'm just sitting there. It's like, I mean, it's just so hot right now. Like, the hell?
It's a lot.
It's a grueling. It's a grueling day.
And the same thing, like you know, as you get older, it gets harder to do that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to walk around like all day anymore.
Oh, please.
We just went to Philly last night to see that band Pup. You ever hear of?
Yeah, Pup? Pup is awesome.
Yeah, they're really good. Yeah. And we were just thinking about it, like
just how old you've gotten.
Old for this? We're like sweaty. And,
my
like,
back hurt. I'm like standing, like, oh, man, my back really hurts. Like, what happened?
Walk all the way back to the car. It's like a half mile walk.
And then you guys ran here today.
Yeah. Killing me.
I need a couch.
Yeah, I need a couch. A soft cushion, please.
But so did you get to meet any cool people at Fest? Like, what was like the epitome of the highest person you got to meet at Fest?
Not really so much this year. This year it was insane, man. Like, we got there on Friday, and then we had to leave at 2 a.m. on Saturday. Gotcha. So we didn't have much time to kind of, like, mingle as much. Our flight was out of Jacksonville, which we had to drive to at 6 a.m.
Gotcha.
So we had to leave Gainesville at 2, drive to Jacksonville, get the flight at 6.
So he's running. They're running, too, see?
Yeah. So,
oh my God.
But in the past, like, you know, I met, you know, the dudes from Descendants, which is like awesome to me.
That's
like,
legends.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like Milo? You got to meet Milo?
Yeah, I got to meet Milo. Bill Stevenson.
No shit.
Yeah.
I love him. I love his drumming. Black Flag drumming, too. Great.
So good. That was kind of a highlight for me as far as like meeting people there, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool. It's not, you know, I mean, but like, is it like you're like separate from like some of the bigger bands, right? Like, you know,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, like I said, there's like stages based on like the popularity, I guess, of each band playing.
Gotcha.
So they'll kind of group you into bands that are at your level,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll be on that stage.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
But that's true. So who organizes this? Like, is Fest like its own company? It's like a company? Like, what is it, like a group of like artists?
It's a dude, Tony Weinberger, and he works. He does Fest, and then he lives in Hawaii for 6 months.
Dude,
that's the only thing he does.
I need to talk to this man. I need that life.
Sign me up, yeah. Matt. I will work on you, Tony.
Yep.
Tony, what's up?
That's amazing.
Where are you at? And I'm living in the most expensive like state in the country.
Yeah.
But I guess I want to play like one more song, like maybe more a more recent one.
Yeah.
Is there one from like more recent album that you guys played maybe at Fest that maybe people didn't really know, but like I kind of asked this question last week, and I think it's kind of a cool question that you didn't expect people to like as much. That like kind of like was like, oh shit, people like that song, or like not even just that Fest, but like in general over the last couple of years of touring.
There's kind of a, I guess for us, kind of a slower jam on the new record called Swindled, which people really seem to like. It's kind of a little different for us, but people seem to really like it.
And
so
it's explicit, according to Spotify.
So. Yeah,
let those curses
fly.
All right. Let me know when you're good.
Cool, let's do that. Let's listen to Swindled from Up For Nothing. We'll be back to wrap it up after this. You listen to Stroll Show, C and the Flow.
It's time to go. I think I might have fucked up. Can I be the one who cares for nothing so nice? Yeah, we like that.
Yeah, you like that. That was a hard click.
That was a hard one. That was real quick. It was the real smooth. We got about 5 minutes left. You listen to Radio Free Brooklyn Stroll Show.
Got a little...
We're plugging that hard today. Plugging that hard.
Yeah.
Got to. You never know when someone's tuning
plug
in.
Plugging Severian, too.
They're plugging. Yeah, I'm just like, yo, go enroll. Now it's co-ed. I'm not going
to
get into that.
And enrollment to go up, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they need more money for that.
But yeah, so just I guess to wrap it up, we got 5 minutes left. Let's talk about the shows you got coming up that are left and, you know, especially the show that's happening November 12th at Union Hall.
Yeah.
Not the pool.
I get confused.
Yeah, so Union Hall is our last Brooklyn show, which is going to really feel like our last show because we have, like, freedom. You know what I'm saying? We're, you know, the Irving Plaza show is going to be very, like, you know, big.
I can, you
know.
Yeah, like, shuffle you off
exactly,
kind of deal.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but this one is kind of like our last, like, hurrah. Kind of
I want to go so bad.
Cool time to, like, just hang with friends and family and, like, man. You know, people that have kind of been there from the beginning, you know.
Blow it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We have, like, a long time to play, so we'll play some oldies and, awesome. You know. Cool. It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about that one.
Cool. And then the next shows after that, the final, like, two are the ones in December where that are the bigger shows.
It's just one.
Oh,
actually.
It's just one.
One big blowout.
Exactly. So we got November 12th and then December 17th.
Gotcha.
And that's with Anti-Flag and Bouncing Souls at Irving Plaza.
That's going to be sweet. Have you played with Anti-Flag before? Or this is the first?
No, first time with Anti-Flag, but we've done Bouncing Souls a couple times.
Right.
Yeah, it's cool because, like, you know, when we announced the Union Hall, that was actually initially our last show. And then we got offered this show, which we couldn't turn down. So we're like, all right, that'll be the last Brooklyn one, and then we'll do one more.
Isn't that weird? Now it's like, oh, now you're playing with, you know, Bouncing Souls and Eddie Flake. Now you're like, well, should we stop?
Hey,
like,
dude, that's great. That's actually what I was going to say. Like, a few people asked me that. Like, are you sure this is it now that you got this show? And, like,
and
if anything, that cemented the end for me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
True.
It's like there's no better way to go out.
Yeah, man.
What else can you do?
The decision made itself, kind of.
Exactly.
In a way,
exactly.
Like, you know, you have your own life, kind of doing your own thing.
Sure.
You've made your not. I don't want to say like you made your peace with it. Like,
yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
But you definitely like you're at a point in your life. It seems. I'm not. Yeah. I don't want to speak for you.
Yeah.
I don't like to do that.
Don't speak for John.
How dare you?
But yeah, and now I'm like totally off my track. But
yeah, no, you're right. Like you know, you realize, you know, whatever you realize, and then you know you get.
You're on to your next phase now.
Exactly.
You know, next phase of your life.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you know, congratulations on all the success you guys have had.
Thank you.
And you know, congrats on the awesome shows you're getting to play still.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know,
and the engagement.
And the engagement. That's right.
That's very good. Wedding coming up. That's awesome.
And
thank you so much for coming, man. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Of course, dude.
Yeah.
And go see Fucking Up for Nothing while you can.
Yeah,
it.
You got two shots. Don't fuck it up.
Don't drop the ball.
Don't
exactly.
Drop the ball. So thank you. Thank you, Justin.
Oh, my God.
I did that on purpose. That was on purpose. Thank you to Justin. Thank you for Up for Nothing for being here. Thank you to Big Flig Steven Gergenti over there.
Give me my social security number.
Go find him. He lives on 18th.
Get out of here right now. Just get out of here.
Next week we're going to have UBED Raptors on the show. And
And then High School Football Heroes week after that for this Thanksgiving Fest special.
Great band.
Cool dude. So we got some shit lined up. You know, just look on our Facebook at Stroll Show BK.
Yep.
We're Up for Nothing. They're on Up for Nothing on Facebook.
And we try to navigate our way home.
Yeah, now here comes the 2 mile walk.
Wish us luck. And let me just ask, hey, Vinny. Vinny? Vinny.
Vinny, you up, bro?
You up, Vinny?
Come on, Vin.